Welcome to the Inside Songwriting Podcast. This is where songwriters find inspiration every time. Hello and welcome back to the Inside Songwriting Podcast. This is episode number 18. My name's Carl Brody and I'm talking to you from the clifftops of Sydney, where I've been sitting patiently waiting to see my first whale of the season. And there were some spotted yesterday down at Bondi Beach. My girlfriend told me there was a couple of whales playing around in Bondi Beach, which if you're a regular listener, you'll know that that's just around the next headland from where I'm sitting now. So it's only a few minutes drive down the hill. I'm waiting around for whales. I'm really lucky. I get to see a lot of them during the season, even from my lounge room or from when I'm washing dishes in the kitchen. I can whale watch. It's just crazy, and I never take them for granted. I'm so grateful for the ocean being right in front of me and how inspirational that is on a daily basis. So I wanted to talk to you today. We've been doing a bunch of interviews recently, but I just felt like having a chat. I've got way too many topics to talk about specifically, so I thought today I'd just ramble, and I hope I don't ramble too much, but I want to just talk to you about a few things. And you know, I've got a lot going on, and that's why there hasn't been the podcasts that have been released have been sort of pre-recorded interviews and stuff in recent times. But I've got a lot planned. Don't worry, I'm going to keep bringing you this free content and keep inspiring you in the way that you're telling me you're being inspired. It's so amazing. I never would have imagined that thousands and thousands of downloads would be happening every month. So what I'm going to do for you is try and keep up the good quality content and bring you everything that I get excited about as a songwriter and everything I learn as I go. You know, I'm writing songs a lot. I always have done since I was a little kid, and I'm doing it more and more every year. I don't necessarily write more every year, but I'm going through a phase right now in particular where I'm going crazy with writing. There's a reason for that, and I'll tell you about that in a second. And a few other things I want to tell you about. So we just started a new weekly column on the website that Michael J. Roberts is writing, and you will know him from the last few episodes, and also because of the books that he's been writing and I've been talking about. There's a whole kind of circle. There's a big picture that I'll sort of maybe I have explained it to you, maybe I haven't. But anyway, he started writing a weekly column now. It's called Musics, Musings, and Topical Tips. And he talks all about songwriting. We sort of, you know, go a little bit off to the on a few side roads. And this first week's one that went up yesterday, he talks about the voice. And, you know, he can be quite cynical with the commercial side of the industry and the commercial side of songwriting. But he makes some amazing points, and it's a great read. It's a great article, and I know Michael really well. We've been great friends for a number of years. He produced my first two albums, and he's since been, you know, a great mentor of mine and a really good friend, one of the best friends you could hope for. I see him regularly. I'm seeing him in a couple of hours at a songwriter's night that I host, and there's something I want to say about that as well. So he talks about the voice, and I'm sure everyone's well aware of what the voice is. I have my feelings about the voice, and at the moment it's been on for a couple of weeks in Australia, and I think this is the first season that I've really enjoyed. There's been great TV. Our judges here in Australia are will.i.am, Ricky Martin, Kylie Minogue, and Joel Madden, and it's been great TV. It's really entertaining, and I don't think for me it's about anything to do with the area of the music industry that I occupy. I could say a lot more about that in terms of what my theory is as to what that show is actually about, but we won't go into that right now. Suffice to say, there's a tour with the final eight this year, they've announced, which is going to be after the TV show. I'll stop there. but you know, one of the things I have noticed, here's where I'll start on the craft today, okay? The craft of songwriting. So one of the things I've noticed while I'm watching it, we sit down and have a great laugh with the, you know, with the judges, and you know, we're nervous for the contestants, and we're waiting to hear how they go, what songs they sing, how well they perform, and so on. One of the things I've noticed is that it's only occasionally that the songs they're showcasing, the songs they're using to showcase their voice, which is what the show is about, it's only occasionally that I'm not sitting there waiting for something to happen. Now, I've written a whole chapter and more on this in my book, The Freethinking Songwriter, about how, you know, when we're writing songs, we don't want our listener to be sitting waiting for something to happen. We don't want to feel that ourselves, especially when we either, you know, take the song to the stage for the first time, or when we're playing it to someone as a demo, or if someone was to cut our song, we want it to stand up every step of the way. We want it to be dynamic throughout and eventful throughout. And that's what great songwriting is when you're not just waiting for something to happen. The verse is not just a means by which to get to the chorus. If it is, then your verse deserves better than that. There's no reason why we should settle for a second best, half done pathway to the chorus. Or whatever your song structure is. Your song might not have a chorus, but, you know, make every moment eventful. And I go into detail, giving loads and loads of suggestions on how to do that in my book. And I've also, I've talked about that in length in a video that it's in production now, it's in post-production now. I'm not sure when that'll be ready, but I'm not, you know, thinking about that right now. But yeah, so when I'm watching The Voice, it's only occasionally when a song actually really, I sit there completely engaged, and The Voice actually points that out. Where the judges, the coaches are sitting there with their back to the singer. And I don't know how it works in the other countries because I haven't seen any recently. But what they're doing here is they're trying to signal with their hands for the singer to do something special to make that their showcase take off, to give the audience a lift and to show the judges, the coaches, something special. And my theory on that is that, you know, if the song's there in the first place, it'll have all the light and shade that they need, even in the minute and a half or whatever it is they get. You know, all the songs are cut short for shows like that. But if the song's written well in the first place, there should be no waiting around. They shouldn't need the judges' hands to be out the sides of the chair. If you haven't seen The Voice, you won't know what I'm talking about, but they sit with their backs to the contestant and their hands can be seen at the side of the chair with the fingers pointing skywards, asking the singers to go skywards with a song that may not even go skywards. And I'm not saying that's the case with all of these songs. And remember, most of these songs are worldwide hits, or they're known globally and have been known for decades. I'm not bagging the songs. I'm just saying what I feel when I hear them. And what I feel when I hear lots of them is exactly what the judges are telling the singer to do. And so I don't think the singer should have to, if the song is amazing in the first place, if there's light and shade. You know, those songs might be classic, global, world-known hits because of the chorus or because of one line in it that connected with someone, and that's fine. That's what we aim to do as well. But let's aim for all of it. Let's aim for light and shade. Let's aim for an engaging, eventful journey throughout the song. Let's lift just enough in that second chorus. Let's finish them off with the middle eight, with the bridge. That's where we ram home the sentiment of the song. And that might be done by dropping everything out and reiterating the message we want to convey. Or that might be by just taking it up five gears, just going sky high with that bridge before we just go nuts in the last chorus and just take them home with on that home stretch with no doubt whatsoever. All the while reiterating the hook and doing what we can dynamically to make the every moment of the song eventful. So if that means we just, you know, we don't just repeat exactly what we've done in the last chorus, we don't repeat in the last chorus what we've done in the other choruses, we do something a little bit special that lifts it. All these little techniques, I think about it all the time. Not because I've written the book, but that's why I wrote what I wrote in the book. So, you know, I was thinking about it. I was going to make a cheesy segue when I said I was waiting around for whales. I can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about whether or not I will see the whales, maybe apart from go and stand for a bit longer over at the cliff tops instead of doing things otherwise and waiting. But you know what? There's lots of things we can't do anything about. But there are some things we can do something about, and that is work on our craft. Really focus, test, and then test again. You know, be the crash test dummy for your own songs. Whether that means, you know, you have to find your own testing ground as well. I'm lucky because I have a couple of ways I can do that. I have, well, a tried and tested method over the years for me is that when I'm playing it to someone for the first time, I'm listening out for the weaknesses. I'm listening out for what doesn't quite hit the mark for me. Why are my emotions not ignited during that section of the song? When I'm listening to it with those other ears, listening to it for the first time, I'm my biggest critic, and it's really healthy because I then go away and work on it again. And that's one of the reasons I'm lucky, is because I've tried and tested that over the years, and it just so happens that I acknowledged that a long time ago, that that's one of my best arenas to learn what I want to do with my new song. Another way is I'm lucky because I run a songwriter's night every Tuesday night. And so if I try out a new song, I get to, you know, I get to test new songs live in a great room with a great sounding PA and with a really beautiful audience that are warm and receptive and compassionate with all the other songwriters that play. Meanwhile, you know, I'm working out what I could do to make the song better. And I've been hosting that Songwriters Night for a year now, and I've been playing live for, I don't know how many years, maybe 20. I'm thinking back to London in the 90s at some point. And yeah, it's probably coming up to 20 years if it isn't 20 years. I know I was playing live at school, but I wasn't thinking about songwriting in such a way at that early stage. So I really do learn so much from playing it live for the first time. One of the things I've been struggling with recently is whether or not my song needs a bridge. And if I have a bridge in there, whether it's the right kind of bridge. And if I have the right kind of bridge in there, is that bridge making a difference to my song that I already feel is there? You know, I've written hundreds of songs, and lots of my songs get to go places that gets me really excited. But I struggle, you know, and I don't expect that anyone doesn't struggle anymore. That's why I say that this podcast is for every level of songwriter, because even if you've had a lot of success, you're still looking for that spark, right? You're still looking for, you know, to make the next song you write a brilliant song. Why is that any different for someone who's already written songs that are very successful? It's not like because you've written one, it's not like because you've made one amazing painting that everyone who sees it loves it and that you still feel great about it. it's not like the next one you do is going to be that good. We can't compare them. We have to move on and create new art and create it in the best way we know how. And hopefully the things that I share, that I get excited about and I want to tell you, hopefully those things can, you know, be ticking over in your mind as well. The third way I get to evaluate my own songs is most definitely when I feel like it, and I don't always do this, but I used to, and it used to make me cry, not literally, but I run my songs by Michael J. Roberts, Mickey Blue Eyes as I call him. I know that if I'm struggling, I can take them to him as an actual purposeful move and just go, man, I thought I had this one. It's just not doing it for me. And I've tried four different things with that chorus. I've tried this, I've tried that. How about, what would you do? You know, so what would Mickey Blue Eyes do? So there was a time in my life where unless I got his yes on a song, I wasn't prepared to take it out into the world or to say it was finished. And then I reached a stage where sometimes I just felt like he had taught me enough and I was moving on enough with my own craft that, you know, I could make those decisions myself, and maybe I've nailed it on my own a lot and maybe I haven't. After all, it's just taste. And what I found it was, I really loved his taste in the songs I was trying to create. And I knew that at the very least, he would be advising me to take the road that would make that song very respectable. And that's what I'm after in my songs, is to write respectable songs. That's the first part. That's the foundations. And then next, I want my songs to set my emotions on fire and ignite the emotions of others and to fly, you know? Not necessarily to be those songs that are big, massive, anthemic choruses and so on, but I want them to fly emotionally. I want the subtle moments to be really moving to me, and I want the subtle moments to be really moving to the listener. And I aim for that every time. I aim for every part of the song to be eventful. And like I've said, you know, I don't think that all the songs in the world that have been very, very, very successful are necessarily like that. I know there are reasons why those songs are massive and classics and will go on selling, but I don't think they're all incredible, incredibly written, engaging, eventful songs. And my point was that there are things we can do. There are things we can do with our craft rather than waiting around. If you wait around, it's not going to just happen. And occasionally you'll fluke out and an incredible song will land in your lap. But there are things that you can do that ensure that you're giving yourself a shot at writing incredible songs every time. Every single time. Because you've got those things in your mind. You can ask yourself those questions. You know, I one of the things I love is that, you know, conversation is the best exercise for learning. Conversation. And I think I've mentioned this several times, but I forget some of the things I've rambled on about in these podcasts, but I know I told you early on why I wrote my first ebook, which is just a bunch of questions. I think it's 52 or 50, oh no, it's 50. I think I wrote 52 or 54 on the day, and then I put 50 in the book and called it 50 Great Questions to Ask Songwriters. Now, that's not really a book. I didn't sit down and it wasn't a book that I wrote with lots of content that with varying topics and like the Free Thinking Songwriter. That's a proper book aimed at helping songwriters every step of the way. 50 Great Questions is just that. It's 50 questions that I put together because I was doing a lot of panels and asking songwriters a lot of questions in front of a live audience. And I love doing that. And I used to come away from those events feeling super inspired. And then I realized that when I was asking those questions, I wasn't just waiting for their answer. I was answering them myself. Or I was answering them while I was preparing the questions. Or I was answering those questions in hindsight. And as a result, I felt really inspired. Sometimes you just need to ask the right questions to know what the answer is that you're looking for. And I think that, you know, maybe what I'm doing on this podcast, as well as I'm pointing out to you what kinds of questions you need to be asking yourself. Or not that you need to. I'm not a preacher in any way, shape, or form. I'd like to think that what I'm doing is pointing out some questions that would be really helpful for you to ask yourself as a songwriter, as an artist. You know, I watched, my girlfriend showed me this amazing YouTube clip yesterday. I'll put a link in the show notes because I can't remember exactly what it was. I think it was from the Ukraine, and I think it was the Ukraine's Got Talent, or I don't even know if that exists, the X Factor from Ukraine or something like that. Anyway, so it was a reality talent show, TV talent show, and I've got to put the link in the show notes and show you this because it blew my mind. There was a girl who happens to be terribly beautiful as well, but that's besides the point. And I mean that she made art from sand, and I think it was on a light box, and I've never seen this before. And she's throwing her hands around with the light coming through the other side while the camera films and while the audience watch. This was live. And she was creating these little stories. And it started with a few flowers and a pathway and a park bench and two people on a bench. But then there's all this amazing music as a soundtrack to what she's doing. This is live art. This is real art. There was not one moment when nothing was happening. People were in tears. She was changing the scene. And as the music changed, everything gets... It starts off really light. It gets really dark. Then it gets all peaceful. Then it gets dark and wild again. And there was not one moment where I was disengaged. I was so completely floored and emotional at watching this beautiful, just forget her physical appearance, this beautiful artist making art that is eventful from the start to finish. I've got to show you that link. I think it's the Ukraine X Factor or Ukraine's Got Talent or something like that. Seriously, without sounding too bold, if you don't watch that and feel the emotions that I feel as an artistic, creative person, as a songwriter, then the things I share on this podcast are probably not right for you. You need to... this is not about technique. This is not about some kind of, you know, learning skills. This is pure artistic expression. And what I try and, the message I try and convey on this podcast is all about that. It's all about that. I know that I get into other things, but I want it to lead completely to the kind of art that moves you, the kind of art that is evocative of those powerful, powerful emotions. And we're not always going to do that with the songs we write. No one has done that with every song they've written. But the greats and the songs that we love that really move us, they've managed to hit on that magic. And I think that there are things we can do to ensure that when that magic comes our way, that we're ready. I even got emotional thinking about that artist just then. I'm definitely going to show you that. I'll find the link and I'll put it in the show notes for this show, okay? Thanks for indulging me on that one. I went off topic for a bit, but it's very, very important to me. It's important that I share in terms of how I interpret what I see around me as well and how I translate it. I said I was just going to ramble today, and so I'm just going to wrap up with one thing. I want to tell you about another thing about the Songwriters Night that I host every week. So besides, you know, trying out new songs and learning from each new song that I try, I watch the people that come, and they come and they ask me if they can play, and you know, it's great quality down there, but the standard is really high, but I give newcomers a run, and it's so rewarding for me to watch these people grow. I watch people so scared you know, some of them have never even sung into a microphone before, but I make sure they know that they're welcome to come back. And I also do what I can to encourage them in areas that might need a little bit of help, and so that when they do come back, they're coming back having grown a little or a lot, having learned a lot, having practiced. And I don't say too much. I never do. I just drop a little comment, and if I feel that it might be received well, if I feel that it might be welcome, unless I'm specifically asked, which is what I do otherwise in a lot of areas in my life, because I'm producing albums and I'm co-writing, and this is all right now. And I'm workshopping songs for people. I do like a song evaluation thing. If you want to contact me about that, it's much more than song evaluation. If you want to contact me by email and ask me how that works, I'll let you know. But it's much more than songwriting, than song evaluation. I don't just chuck in a few comments about what I think of your song. It's so much more than that. And Carl@insidesongwriting.com is my email address. Just if you're interested in that and how I can help you with that stuff, just let me know. The other thing is that, you know, there's one guy who's been coming for maybe like 4 weeks now, or I think he's had his fourth week there, and you should see how this kid has grown in 4 weeks. He gets to do 3 songs, and one of the weeks I only had time for him to do 2 because we were packed. And he was a trembling mess. He was a trembling mess on his first week. And he could barely keep time. His guitar was a little out of tune, and I think it's because he was nervous and he rushed to tune it. His voice was scared and trembling and very pitchy. And you could tell the songs were half realized. You know, there was something good about them, but I think his confidence took away how those songs were represented. His lack of confidence took away how those songs were represented in those first weeks. Anyway, this is so rewarding. This is why I love doing this stuff in so many areas of my life. So last week he came along and he literally had everyone in the house dead quiet, listening to his emotional delivery of one of his new songs that he'd written. His voice was perfect, and he dropped into this, well, lifted into this, I should say dropped because it was more of a subtle area of the song, this falsetto that he hadn't been confident enough to do in the past. And everything about his performance was engaging and mesmerizing. I couldn't take my eyes off him, and I couldn't stop listening. I just was so engrossed in his performance. And this is a guy who doesn't even know how to make the mic stand tall enough for him. That's not a criticism. That's pointing out how much of a freshman he is in this whole songwriting and performing world. So the growth, it's incredible. 3 or 4 weeks, and this guy is, he's almost gig ready. I mean, I think he's gig ready because he's shown magic moments. So now it's about him honing those efforts and doing exactly what he's been doing. And I asked him what he's been doing. After the show, I go up to him and I say, you know, that was your best run tonight. Man, well done. Like, you must have been practicing. You sounded so good. Well done. Everyone here loved you. And a lot of people have mentioned it. And he was so humble and grateful that I went over and made a point of speaking to him. He's a really nice, polite guy as well. And I said to him, you know, just with a little wink, oh, you've been practicing, haven't you? And he said, yeah, I've been practicing for 2 hours a day. And I was, he actually stopped me in my tracks, because whilst that doesn't sound that unusual, the first thing that came to my mind, and I told him straight away, I said, you know what, you're probably the only person that comes here on Tuesdays that practices for 2 hours a day, and that's what makes a difference. So keep doing exactly what you're doing. So I just wanted to point out, there is a guy who's not waiting around. I love it. I'm so inspired by it. You know, this guy's probably written about 5 songs, and I'm getting close to 500 or more. And I'm inspired by this kid because he practices for 2 hours a day. You know what? When the magic comes, he's ready. That's how it works. And I thought I'd make a point of that notion this week for you guys. I've got to go. I'm heading over to the songwriter sessions, and I'm going to be hosting, and maybe I'm going to play my new song, which is called Mary Lou's Typewriter. And I played it a couple of weeks ago, and I've been learning about it when I've been playing it, and I'm going to tell you something else. One of my favorite writers, one of my favorite books ever written, is On the Road, Jack Kerouac. In fact, all the beats, I'm crazy about the Beat Generation. And ever inspired. However, I left it for a while. I had a long break, and I haven't read On the Road for years. And I did get another copy a couple of years ago, and I haven't read it yet. But I was given the movie to watch. In fact, Mickey Blue Eyes gave me the movie to watch. I didn't even know it was made, because I've often got my head in songwriting land, not in movie world. And it was just a few weeks ago, and I watched it, and seriously, try this. Get On the Road, or get any inspirational writer's movie. Adaptations just came to mind as well. Nicolas Cage movie. Check that one out. I wrote 3 songs, 3 complete songs, while I was watching it, just in a notepad next to me that I couldn't help myself but scribble away. And while I was watching that movie, I just went scribble crazy, proving to myself, like I needed proof yet again over the years, I can't count how many years now, that Kerouac is king and that I am inspired endlessly. And I wrote a song that I love called Mary Lou's Typewriter. Maybe I'll play it for you on one of these podcasts sometime soon. I love talking to you guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks so much. If you've been recommending this podcast to your friends, which I would imagine some of you have, because the downloads are skyrocketing. It's so amazing. If you are a person who has been speaking highly of this podcast, thank you so much. And if you're a person that's been leaving reviews on iTunes, thank you so much. If you're a person who is out there and is sitting there quietly listening and enjoying, and has no intention ever of contacting me, but you're enjoying the podcast and you're feeling inspired and it's helping you as an artist, as a creative person, if this is in any way helping you flourish, then I'm super grateful for that too, even if I never get to find out about it. I'll talk to you in episode 19, which is coming up next. So once again, get down to it. Go and write your next brilliant song, and I'll speak to you again very soon. All the best.